The content in this episode is not meant to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your own physician or other qualified medical health provider for any questions you have on your own personal medical conditions. Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Boonie, and you're listening to the Boonie Breakdown Podcast, your source for all things responsible and ratchet. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this week's episode of the Boonie Breakdown Podcast. I'm excited because I love when people revisit the podcast. And this week's guest, Ashley Cobb of Sex with Ashley, is back. You may remember her from episode 146. That was a while ago because now we're on 241. So I can't believe it. But Ashley is back. Our favorite friend in filth. She's an Atlanta-based sex educator, writer, and HIV activist known for her open and forward-thinking approach to sexual freedom, sexual pleasure, and practical sex advice. And guys, this episode is so good because we talk about Black women, we talk about unprotected sex, we talk about Black women are the fastest growing population in new HIV cases, and we talk about PrEP. So you're probably looking at this week's episode title like PrEP, Black Women PrEP too. We're talking about PrEP, the medication, HIV prevention. We've seen the commercials, and Ashley lets me get all up in her business about her choice in actually taking PrEP herself. So you want to stick around for this conversation, okay? Also, we want to shout out our sponsor for this week's episode. Shout out to Dame Products. You guys know I love all of their great vibrators and sex toys over there. So if you are interested, you can use the code Boonie10. That's Boonie all cap letters 10 to save on your next purchase over at dame.com. All right, let's just hop right into my pick of the week. All right. Pick of the week. Apple TV frustrates me because they have some great shit over there. But this week, Lessons in Chemistry. Let me just say, the trailer does the show no justice. Based off the trailer, I had no intention on ever watching that show. I was just like, not for me. Looks like some white shit. But let me tell y'all, I have not watched a show so tender, so sincere in a long time. I binged the whole thing. It's 8 episodes. It's 10 out of 10. Boonie approve. I don't use the word superb a lot, but I'm using the word superb. The show was excellent. The narrating, the dialogue, the storytelling, the scientific puns. It was great. I mean, it was truly fabulous. Twists and turns. There's a Black family also that's centered into the show. So it's not just white. it's just so beautifully and immaculately done. All I can just say is watch it. Lessons in Chemistry over on Apple TV.
Housekeeping.
Come back later, please.
Housekeeping?
Not now.
All right, last week's episode, if you've not checked it out, with Dr. Clarissa Francis, the Real Hot Girl Doc, was amazing. I got some really good feedback, but I did want to highlight some things that came up in Talk to Boonie Tuesday. I'd asked the question, if you had a magic wand, what's one thing you grant all Black women? And overwhelmingly, a lot of the comments were peace, protection, rest, safety. Someone said protection from anything that yields them harm. A lot of people said money. That was another reoccurring one. And then the two that really stood out to me said an amazing father and safety in a father figure. Full autonomy of their body and the confidence to use their voice. So that was a spot on analysis and synopsis of the episode with Dr. Clarissa Francis. So if you've not listened, go back to listen to last week's episode. It was great. And I get it. It's the holiday. Last week, y'all was running around getting y'all turkey and y'all could have had the Boonie breakdown in your ear, but you didn't. But now you can go back and listen to that episode after you finish this one. Also, this Thursday, November 30th, if you're with the Patreon gang or you want to join Patreon gang this week, come on and join us. Head on over to patreon.com/the Boonie breakdown, because this Thursday, Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, we are having our book club discussion. We've been reading all month, Confessions of a Video Vixen. And I gotta say, with what's happening in the news with all these sexual assault cases, I think our discussion on Thursday will be amazing and so timely and relevant. Who knew? But also, we have a merchandise code running also. If you use the code Black Friday 23 through December 2nd, you get 35% off all orders over $45. That is the largest coupon code I do. It's 35 or 30. I don't know. One of those percentages. But you get the largest discount I give all year during this week following Black Friday. So great time to get your journals, your cups, your sweatshirts, especially the sweatshirts and hoodies. Y'all be hitting me over the head on those. But I'm glad that I can provide some little savings for you all right now. Also, I would love for everyone, if you have not hit follow or subscribe in a podcast app, I would like for you to do that now. If this is your first time listening, go ahead and Apple Podcasts and Spotify, hit that follow. Go ahead. You want to. And then after you do that, you can go ahead and hit those 5 stars as well. We love a good 5-star review. If you want to type some kind words with those 5 stars, I will take those as well. We appreciate it so much over here at the Boonie Breakdown. We really, really do. And if you're like, you know, I also want to follow that girl on Instagram because she's funny, you can head on over to Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We're just at the Boonie Breakdown. YouTube at the Boonie Breakdown. On Twitter, we're just at Boonie Breakdown. But, you know, tag us in your Insta story when you're listening to the podcast. Share these reels that I'm paying for. Share them in your Insta story. Put them in your group chat. Get the discussion going. And this is my other gripe. Not a gripe, but it's a point of learning. For most content creators, I know we share things in our stories to get the maximum amount of eyeballs, because sometimes if we post something on our feed, you may not see it. But if you cannot, you know, if it's a reel, please go to the reel and just click the heart. You don't even got to comment, but liking the story and liking the actual reel are two different things. And liking the reel helps us, all these content creators, out so much. All right. So that is it for me. Let's get ready to break it down. All right, guys, I'm excited because Ashley Cobb is back on the Boonie Breakdown. It's been a long time since you've been on here.
It's been a while. It's been like a couple years, actually.
Like, I feel like it's been 2 years.
You're
growing up out here. I see you out here.
I think the last time I was on your show, I wasn't in Atlanta. And I moved to Atlanta in 2021. I wasn't in Atlanta.
I think you're right. I think you were just about to move down there. Mm-hmm. How you like Atlanta?
I love Atlanta. Atlanta is all the things I thought it would be.
That's amazing to hear. People talking about Atlanta full, don't come here.
No, it is full. Let's be clear. It's full. It's very much full. But I just think, like, too, and it's a meme that goes around that says moving to Atlanta won't change your life. Now, I think there's some truth to that. But for me, I did research and, not to sound like too like spiritual, but like how I knew I was in the right place is when I got here, doors kept opening and things kept, you know, happening that progressed, right?
So I was the alignment. You were supposed to be there.
That was my confirmation. Okay, I moved to the right city. I think some people move places thinking they've seen what it is done for others without trying to get clear what their purpose is and what their alignment is. And then they're like, well, it worked for so-and-so. Well, you know, maybe this might not be the place for you. So
I think you just hit on something. That wasn't even what we were supposed to talk about, but you just hit on something. That you just hit on something there. Because when people be chasing after what other people doing, right? Yes. That's not what you're supposed to do.
No, that's not. And like for me, I also, this is so off topic, but I also.
It is. We're going to bring it full circle.
Okay. So I also get readings and I have an astrologist, right? Ooh. Right. And so anytime I make any like big decisions or things I'm thinking about, I always get talked to my, I don't want to call her a psychic, but whatever. Because psychic, the term psychic is so like it has like this negative undertone.
It's like Dionne Warwick in the Friends.
Yeah. But she's not one of those, but she is intuitive, however you want to call it.
That's
a,
yeah.
And then I have a person who does astrology who looks at the stars. So I had, there's a type of astrology that you can get when it's geographical. It tells you what places in the world based on your certain signs will be the best place for you to move. So I had one of those numbers. So before, I always wanted to move to Atlanta. Before I moved to Atlanta, I'm like, let me make sure that Atlanta is the place for me. So it was Atlanta was the place in like in LA. People say I've supposed to move to LA for like 3 years. I hate LA. Let's be clear.
How do you hate LA?
I don't like nothing about LA. It's not my vibe.
So I like the weather.
That's about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked that California slowness. Like, I feel like the East Coast is just so, especially the Northeast, we're so fast, we're so tight. And I liked that it was a little spread out, a little la, la, la. Like, it was just a completely different vibe.
So
I don't know that I could live there, though, but I did like my week there.
So what I, like, LA is cool for me. LA is cool for me to work. Like, I have no problem working there. But I never want to live my address to be in LA or California. For me, what I love about Atlanta is the blackness of it.
That's fair, because in LA, you ain't getting that at all.
LA is such a melting pot of sorts. I mean, there are other people in Atlanta too. But Atlanta is, you can go to Atlanta and see all of these Black people who are doing well in different industries who outside the scammers, we had that too, but there are people who are doing well, neighborhoods of people who are upper middle class or upper class who are doing well. It's all Black people. Like, for me, I love that.
And I think that is so, I've decided that myself. Baltimore is a 60% Black. Mm-hmm. So when I go to other places, I'm like, where are the Black people? I'm so used to seeing, like, I've never been void of Black people. Mm-hmm. So when I go places, I'm like, where are the Black people? Mm-hmm. And I've decided to, I can never live somewhere where I'm not, I don't want to travel miles to see no Black person. Like, I need to be around Black people. I don't want to live in an all white neighborhood. Like, I want to be around my people. So I get the appeal of Atlanta because it had that, but then it's also that level of, mm-hmm, I'm going to a new level too, right? Like, I'm going to Atlanta to come up. So I fuck with it. I haven't been to Atlanta in a while. I used to go a lot more because family lived there. So I was always there a couple times a year, but I have not been there in a while. And to bring this conversation full circle, why I had you on here, that was an important conversation, so I'm gonna recap that first. Okay. Like, don't be chasing other people's shit. Like, follow what's for you. Be clear about what you want to do, because that's how you succeed, right? Like,
that is,
just be clear about what you want to do, because it's so easy, especially with these phones and social media. You see these bombardment of stuff like, oh, I need to do that too. No, you don't. You don't really have to, but
and then too what I found too, like, especially let's say podcast lane, right? And then like my lane, because you see so little representation of people that look like you doing it. So it's like, you want to follow what like their rubric. They seem to have like been successful. So maybe I need to follow, you know, what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, there's nothing wrong with, like, following people, I guess, but you have to make sure this is what you want to do. Like, I've done a lot of different things in the sex ed lane, a lot of them. I tried different things. I had different type of blogs. I've tried a lot of things. And some things I liked, some things weren't really for me. I remember when I had a podcast, and some people still want me to do a podcast, like a sex podcast, but there's just so many sex podcasts, I'm over it.
Podcasting is a lot of work. Like, I get how people say it, and I really do enjoy it, but it's a lot, right? It's a lot. And I think it's some crazy statistic where it's like 70% of podcasts don't make it past episode 8 or it's something insane like that, where people realize how much work it is and they abandon it.
And then too, like, it's a lot of work. And like for me, I think everything with, like, especially like the relationship podcast and podcast on sex, it's all about getting like that hot take, that that spicy take for people
to that one thing to go viral. Yeah.
For people to listen. And I know for me, I was never interested in sharing my own sex life. That wasn't what I was interested in. You know, no shade to whoever does that. But for me, I wanted my personal sex life to be private. And I felt like that's what a lot of people wanted you to do in order to, like, be successful. You have to be one of the girls who talk about, you know, how many dicks you suck. That's not what I want to talk about.
I'm with you. I try to straddle a very fine line where I can... Oh yeah, but it's not my whole sexual career on Front Street.
Right.
So let's bring in educators to teach you bitches something. No, right. So
right.
That's where I am. So now why I brought you here, because it's an important conversation. And so we're gonna tie this. I'm about to thread this needle. Atlanta is a very great, cool city, great food. Maybe not if Keith Lee comes there.
Depends on who you're asking.
Yeah, like maybe not. But it also has one of the highest HIV rates in the world. And so why I invited Ashley on was because I wouldn't get all up in her business. I've noticed, as part of your role as a sex educator, I've seen recently you've moved more into this space of Black women and HIV and preventative measures. So that's what we're here to talk about for a little bit. And this episode is airing around World AIDS Day. And so let's go.
So many people don't know this. I have a public health degree. So
I want credentials.
Yeah. So, you know, when I went to school for public health, I went to school because I wanted to actually work at a health department, and I wanted to work around Black women and HIV. That's what I did my thesis on, was like Black women and HIV. That's what the paper was on. I don't know why I cared so much, because I don't have a personal connection to anyone that I know. Who has HIV growing up. So I'm not really sure why I had like this personal, like, this is what I want to do, but I did. So after college, I couldn't get a job at a health department at the time. And so I was kind of like, well, I went, got a degree that I'm not going to, you know, can't use. Like the rest of it. And then it wasn't until, like, 3-4 years ago, actually, that I kind of got back into like the public health space, and I realized, like, I love it. I can talk about, well, I talk about sex in general right? But then I also love talking about just like from a preventative standpoint, pleasure, yes. Pleasure and prevention are related, and I think people don't really understand that, because number one reason why people are having sex is because it feels good. It feels
good. It feels good.
That's why we fucking, because it feels good.
And you and if it doesn't, we need to go see the person.
So if people are having sex, and we know that STIs are acquired through sex, right? Then the two are related. So we need to link the two together. So that's kind of like what my journey has been as this sex educator. Because a lot of people didn't really see, like, well, you're a sex educator. Why are you here in this HIV space? They didn't really see the correlation. And I'm like, it's related, right?
It is related.
It's all related. And so what I do now, I'm still a sex educator, but I have a whole day job. No, most people don't know that either. I have a day job. I do presentations on sexual health and PrEP to college students in the state of Georgia. And what PrEP is a drug you take to prevent. It's a preventative medication you take to prevent HIV.
So okay.
So when I'm talking to students, I'll say like PrEP is like similar to birth control. I'm on birth control because I don't want to get pregnant.
So, okay. Mm-hmm. We went to PrEP early, but let's just go to PrEP. No, okay. It's fine. It's a conversation. Okay. So you just said what PrEP is. You made the analogy to make it digestible for folk. Mm-hmm. Here's where it is, right? Like my interaction with these medications, right? Because there are different brand names, Batrovi, and I see all the commercials, and they're marketed to gay men and trans people.
Correct.
That's it. Correct. So when I'm seeing you do your posts on social, I just scroll because I'm like, not for me. And then when you said that you were taking PrEP, whoa, what? And that's when I started paying attention more, because I don't know when you posted it, but I think you're the only person I know who's openly said, I'm a Black woman and I'm taking PrEP. And for me, that was major, because I'm just like, I thought it was for gay men and trans people.
Right.
That's what the commercials say. That's what they're dancing around to. So
right. And so like PrEP has been around for like 20 years or so. And it was marketed to gay people, white men and trans and people with trans experience, right? That's who it was marketed to. Because that's where they were making the money. There's a lot of money in HIV drugs, right? And at the time they weren't making any money in trying to have us on PrEP, because you know. So as of recently, probably last 5 years or so, there has been interest in getting Black women on it, because outside of it's gay men, people of trans experience, the third highest or people who were affected by HIV are Black heterosexual women. So there has been an increased interest in trying to
do preventative measures, right?
Yes, preventative measures. So it's interesting because they want HIV to be eradicated by 2030. 2030 is not that far away.
Yeah.
It's not. And actually in like white communities, it's really.
It is. Right. So like I was reading these statistics on the CDC website, because I'm like, it's been a while, because let's also back up. You hear PrEP, but like I don't see condom commercials anymore. I don't hear things about safe sex like we did when we were younger. So I had like the bejesus scare into me with sex, because it was like Magic Johnson. I remember Arthur Ashe, Eazy-E. Those were big, like, and then everything was like, wrap it up, have safe sex. And so it was like, nope, when I have sex, I'm not wearing a condom. You got to have a condom. And now people talk about raw sex, unprotected sex, like it ain't nothing. And I'm just like, what happened here? Right. But those messages aren't in your face anymore.
What happened, particularly with heterosexual Black women, is one, we tend to be trusting of our partners. Two, we didn't really, you know, when it came to HIV and like, let's say like STDs, right? How they delivered it to us was, if you are a good girl, if you are not that type of girl, you don't have to worry about this thing. Mm. Right? This thing is only for people who are like the hoes, the sluts, the fast girls, the girls who are, you know, sleeping with everybody, your type thing. That's how they bottled it up and gave it to you. Right? So I think for a lot of Black women, how they're getting caught in the crossfire is they're not able to identify that they don't understand that if you're having sex, then you're HIV possible. All you need to do is to have sex. It doesn't matter with how many
say people that again, you're sex. HIV possible. I've never heard that language before.
Yeah.
You at risk.
If you fucking, you at risk. It don't matter if you fucking one person or 10. if you're fucking, you're at risk. And like I said, I try to tell people in Atlanta, like, because Atlanta, the HIV population is so great here, I compare it to if you have two pools. You have one pool that has 100 piranha and you have another pool that has 10 piranha, right? Because I live in the pool with the 100 piranha, it's a higher probability that I'm going to come out of that pool with a limb missing than of those who live in the ones with the 10, right?
I'm nodding.
Right. So because I live in a city that has high numbers, even if I don't identify as one of those fast girls, slow, hoes, whatever that is, but I'm having sex in a city with a high number, my chances aim higher. So I'm at risk. And so people have a hard time with trying to, like, nobody wants to be at risk. No one wants to see themselves like, girl, I ain't doing that. So they have a hard time with seeing themselves.
Yeah, it was like on the CDC website, I screenshotted this. It said HIV is more prevalent among African Americans compared to any other racial or ethnic group. As a result, while risk behaviors like sex without a condom or having multiple partners are comparable to other races and ethnicities, African Americans face greater exposure of risk during sexual encounters. That's all what you say in the pariahs.
Yeah, and then too, that there's also barriers to medical care, right? I posted on the internet the other day about somebody I know who was trying to go get a STD test because they had sex with somebody and they, you know, have symptoms or something. They're trying to figure out what it is. And so we were calling around, we'll call around to see how much it'll be to get an STD test. So the health department here in Atlanta, it's $145 to get an STD test at the health department in Atlanta. It is, and it's $103 to go to Planned Parenthood. And I called a local doctor, it was like $130. So the health department is more expensive than going to a regular doctor without any insurance. Now, there are clinics here in Atlanta because Atlanta has such a high number of HIV that will do like free HIV testing and free other testing. But if I don't know what those places are, you would assume that the health department is the place that you would go, and they will have cheap to sliding scale. It shouldn't be $145.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's high. And I'm going to the health department, chances are I don't have health insurance. So if I don't have health insurance, chances also are that I might not have $145 to get tested. Yeah,
that's my cell phone bill, the car insurance, some gas, a couple things of gas. That's a lot of money.
It is. That's a bill. That's a bill.
I'm thankful because I've mapped it out for myself that at least where I have my physical and my gynecological exam, they're in different parts of the year. So run everything then, right? So, and it's also funny, as someone who has never had a lapse in health insurance in recent years, you have to request that. Your doctors do not automatically blood test you for those things. Even my gynecologist, like, she'll be like, do you want us? Yes, run it all.
Yes. And even if you, I learned this too, even if you have insurance, somebody on my post like, well, if you have insurance, is considered preventative, blah, blah, blah. But even if you have insurance and if you go to the doctor, because I called and I was asking questions, and I go to the doctor randomly, let's say I was going, I have my physical, my pap smear is in March, but this is November, and I think I need to get checked out. I have to pay for that. The only time it's going to be free is when they do my once a year preventative thing. It's not free no other time.
It's not. You're 1,000% correct. So that's why I've put my physical and my gynecological exam at the different ends of the calendar. So at least I know, okay, there and there. And if it's one in the middle, I'll just pay for it out of pocket. Or thankfully, my one doctor will change the coding or whatever she needs to do on her end so that they will pay for it. But it's absurd. I didn't know that until I got a bill one time because I just randomly like, hey, I need some blood work done.
Right.
And they were like, oh, yeah, I got that bill on the back end. Like, you owe us $97. I said, well, wait, I just got a, what? Right. Mm-hmm. So it is wild.
So people can't like pay for get testing, they're not going to get tested. So, And then we already know black people don't go to the doctor. Black men particularly don't go to the doctor.
Lord, no.
My whole life, you know, black men don't go to the doctor. Unless by the time a black man goes to the doctor, it's already too late. What you got? It's already a problem. And typically, in most cases. Add that to the pot of we don't have access to testing. We're not going to the doctor. So even if you had something, and you know, and most the most common STI symptom is no symptom at all. So even if you had something and you don't go to the doctor, you don't know. Y'all don't spread it around the city.
You just spread it around. And I will acknowledge this, that like it can be daunting sometimes getting those tests while you wait for results. Yeah. I will be honest, this last one I did a little, you know, run back in your mind when you close your eyes and you were like, "Ooh, Lord." And I remember I went and did it on like a Wednesday afternoon. Uh-huh. And so now it's crazy because everything is on the internet. LabCorp emailed me before my doctor even got to look at it. And I was just like, I gotta look. I literally just opened my eyes and was like, LabCorp, like, I got to log in. And I was like, oh my God. As I was logging in, I was like, what if you log in and you see some terrible fucking news? Like, are you ready for this at Friday at 8:00?
Yeah, are you ready? Like, you know, because I tell people, like, for me, one, I'm on prep because I wanted to lead by example.
That is amazing of you. Way to be the model, because
yes.
I got to dig in your business once you finish your statement, though.
Like, you know, because it's easy to tell people, oh, I think you should do this. I think this is something you should try. But, like, it without getting on it, right? So, like, I wanted to be the test dummy. Let me see what the side effects are. Let me see how it works for me. That when someone asks me, I can give you my honest opinion of what it is and all these things. And that way, hopefully, by me sharing my story, I also inspire someone else who looks like me to be like, you know what? Ashley said she's on prep, and you know what? Her pussy still works. She got all her teeth. Eyes, you know what I'm saying? I already couldn't see that well, but you know, it hasn't gotten any worse. You know what I mean? I haven't gained any significant weight. You know, we women, we care about that. We're going
to,
that's one of the main issues. I remember Depot back in the day when I was in like middle school.
I blew up like a damn balloon. Yes.
Everybody was like, no, people like Depo because it's a shot in the arm. But everybody who was on Depo got fat or fatter. Mm-hmm. And that was a deterrent from people getting on Depo. So, like, we care about if we're going to, you know, gain weight, if it's going to change our appearance. So, yeah, so I got on it to basically just be...
to be a model for the people you're educating. That is incredible. So now I'm glad you mentioned it. So that was your reason why. Have you experienced any side effects, right? Because like I think it scares people that, and tell me if my science is wrong, what I read briefly. There's a little bit of the strand in you. So your body builds antibodies that if you encounter it, it's like, get away from me.
Correct.
Okay.
But that's how it is with any type of
it's any type of vaccination or whatever you're taking, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. But you know, like AIDS and HIV, that stigma is still there, right?
HIV is the boogeyman of STDs. Yep.
It is. And so no major side effects you've experienced?
Mm-hmm. So there's two forms of PrEP. You have a daily oral pill.
Okay.
An injection. I've been on both.
Oh, wow.
I'm currently on the injection because I don't have time to take a pill every day. When I was on the pills, I had a headache at first when I first got on it. That was the only type of side effect. I have no side effects for the injection. None. None.
So how often do you get the injection? Like
every other month. So it's
okay. That's not a big time commitment. You do it yourself, or do you have to go to the doctor to get administered?
So I go to the doctor, and they shoot me in my ass, and I go home. So you have to go and get like vitals. They check your blood, make sure everything's functioning properly, and you also have to do an HIV test every time you
That's what I was going to ask you. Yeah, so would you ever, because you're on this medication, if you took an HIV test, would you ever show a positive?
It's negative.
Because of the medication. It's always negative. It's negative.
Yeah. It's negative. So yeah. So like, you know, I can fuck raw and not worry about it. I'm joking.
I was about to ask you, baby girl. So do you feel more protected and relaxed a bit that on my side, right, where I'm still using condoms and I don't one time and I'm like, Lord, I gotta take that test. Yes. And now I'm stressed. You've taken that ease away because you're on PrEP, right? So you don't feel as anxious about unprotected sex.
No. And like, to be honest, like to be 100% like real, like I don't like using condoms anyway. Like I use them because I have to. I don't use them because like, oh my God, I just love how condoms feel. Like so whenever I am in long-term sexual relationships with people, I don't use them. Right. That's probably crazy for me to say.
I mean, I think we're all, I can admit the times that I have not were mostly long-term committed relationships. Right. Yeah.
Now it's random people, condoms, sure. But it's people that I'm fucking regularly for months and years. No, babe, it's just what it is. I'm just not. So for me, I sleep a little better at night knowing that, you know, I have birth control and I have PrEP. So what I can't get is no baby. And what I can't acquire is HIV. Now that does not eliminate me from the other things.
Thanks.
Right? But most of those things, knives
are treatable.
Are treatable or curable with mm-hmm. a little pill. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with that, right? But yeah, so it helps me. It gives me a little sense of ease. And research has shown that people who are on PrEP, and this is for men, because they women haven't been on it long enough to do any like research with them yet. But for men who are on PrEP, they found that it helps them to like lower their anxiety. They're more open to trying things like group sex, you know, going to like sex clubs.
I'm gonna say that makes sense to me because you're saying that, right? Like that to me already tells me that it's a man so open-minded that they're willing to put themselves and their health first, that they would be open to exploration of other things, right? I'm pretty sure I could call 6 black men right now, like, would you get on PrEP? And they'd be like, no. But I think a certain type of person, or particularly a man who has done that, is further along already.
Right. You already care about your sexual health. So like,
yeah,
I'll do anything with you. Listen, you give me a man who goes to the doctor regularly, baby. Listen.
Preaching. Because here's the thing. And women as well. But definitely for men, it's like, it's so much easier to know that there's a problem sexually because their penis has to get erect and you need blood flow. So if that's not happening, there's something happening internally that is restricting your blood flow or causing you not to be able to get erections. And
men typically show signs of symptoms of STIs. They typically know. We are the ones who, in most cases, are unaware.
And it's terrible. And I'm going to shame every man listening. I know it's not a lot of y'all because my audience is mostly women, but those of you who are listening, it is terrible and it's not acceptable for you to say the woman I was with got an exam so I'm clean. Like, you definitely need to do your own STI screenings because that is not sufficient.
It is not. I need for you to go to the doctor yourself.
Yeah, because like, and that's the yucky thing too, because it's like, so many people walking around here with dirty dicks. I hate to shame, but I'm gonna shame. And like you said, you having sex with this person, having sex with that person, you may be using condoms or two of them, but this one you're not. But then you see her, like, It's ridiculous.
It is. Ridiculous. And I tell people too, like, people have this thing like, oh, about safe sex. Safe sex is not a thing. That's not a real thing. Because there's no such thing. The only safe sex is to not have it at all.
Abstinence.
Yeah.
It sounds like a sex ed class.
Safe sex does not exist. There's things you can do to make sex safer, but there's no such thing as safe sex. If you're having sex, it's not safe. There's risk in it. Even with condoms, there's a risk in having sex with condoms. Condoms are not 100%. And even with something like STIs, you can still acquire them with a condom. It's not 100%. So there's never like, we're having safe sex. I'm not going to get anything. If you fucking, it's a risk.
So somebody who's listened to this conversation now and was just like, oh, wow, I'm considering. Ashley is on PrEP. She's done two different types of PrEP. Like, what would you say to the person who wants to know more, on the fence about trying? Like, what would their next steps be?
So glad you asked that question. So I'm a part of a campaign. It's called IamHIVPossible.org, I believe. Yes, I should know the end. It's .org or .com. Try both. But it is I Am HIV Possible. And on that campaign, it has information about women, Black women, and PrEP. It also has a link for PrEP Locator. So PrEP Locator locates any doctor's office in the United States that offers PrEP in whatever city you live in or a city closest to you.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that's what I would do. I would go to IamHIVPossible.org or .com and read the information, go to the PrEP Locator if you're interested. I also tell people, do your own research and be prepared for a lot of doctors. You would think that doctors are, what's the word I'm looking for? Educated.
They aren't.
A lot of them are ignorant too. Like, I've had people who told me, the doctor said, well, you're married or you're not, are you a sex worker? What you need PrEP for? Right? So there's doctors who still think if you're married, like being married, you know, makes you immune from STIs. It doesn't. But being married, or if you're not someone who's a prostitute, that you can't benefit from things like PrEP. So if you know that it's just something that you're interested in, do your own research and then go see your doctor, and don't let your doctor sway you if it's something you think you want to do.
I love that. And one thing I did not ask you, is PrEP covered by your insurance? Is there a cost to it? Are there coupons for PrEP?
So,
or is it expensive?
Technically, PrEP is supposed to be covered in your insurance. That is the technical answer, right? In real life, it ain't.
Got it.
So it's supposed to be covered. There was a law that's passed, I think, last year that it's preventative and it's supposed to be covered by all health insurances. That's a politically correct answer. Okay. Yeah. Is it being covered? No. There are people who it's not being covered. So, but in large metropolitan cities, there tend to, if they have like a HIV clinics, HIV clinics tend to offer PrEP for free through different services and resources and grants. So if your insurance, for whatever reason, is not covering it, I would see if I can find
an option.
There are other options, yes. But technically, your insurance is supposed to be covering it.
Well, there you go. If you want to advocate for yourself, then you might want to do the legwork to get your insurance to cover it. Because that's one of the parts of healthcare, I feel like, it's just advocating for yourself, whether it's for PrEP or, you know, I'm fat and stop telling me I'm fat. And that's why I'm like you just have to advocate for yourself anyway with your healthcare providers. That's a whole nother episode, child.
It is.
So now
I remember I was talking to one of my friends about like bad doctor experiences and like, and being a Black woman. Right. I remember I was in college and this is off topic a little bit, but I was in college and I have a cyst that sits on the back of my tailbone. I've had it most of my life. But it got infected while I was in college. And I went to the emergency room and the doctor was like, I'm like, something's wrong, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, no, it's just a bruised tailbone. Go home. Right? He gave me some Tylenol and told me to go home. Child, that man about killed me. I had night sweats and fevers and all type of stuff. My mama came like, I was about to be up out of here. And then it wasn't until I went to about, I don't know, 3-4 days later. My mom was like, you need to go to a doctor because this is not what that man said. It was a white doctor too. And I went to the doctor on campus, which was a black woman. And she was like, this is a cyst. It's not a bruised tailbone. Yeah. And so like they drained it and all this other stuff. And I immediately felt
better. Yeah.
Yeah.
You definitely have to advocate for yourself for everything in the healthcare space.
They will kill you if you don't listen.
So we're at the part we're gonna do the breakdown. I'm gonna say a word, you say the first thing that comes to mind. It could be another word, a sound, a phrase. That's it. Okay. Simple. First one, black women.
Powerful.
Condom.
You said condom?
Uh-huh.
Wear one.
HIV.
Possible.
Sex.
Great.
Orgasms.
More of them.
Life.
Abundantly.
And last one, health.
Health is wealth.
It is. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, tell all the listeners where they can find you on social media, any websites, and just plug anything you want to plug.
So I am on all social media websites as Sex with Ashley. So if you type in Sex with Ashley, I'll pop up. And, you know, you can Google me. It's the same thing. My website is also Sex with Ashley. It's all the same.
She made it so easy. All Sex with Ashley. Yeah. Be sure to follow and support. And thank you so much for this conversation and letting us get all up in your business.
Thank you for having me. Anytime.
All right. That is it for this week's episode. I want to thank our guest, the homie, Ashley Cobb, for coming in and giving us a very educational episode. If you have more questions, I really do encourage you to follow her, reach out and see all the great work that she is doing or even more about her experience. Also, don't forget to support our sponsors at Dean Products. You can use the code Boonie10 to save on your next order at Dame.com. We also have book club. Don't forget book club because that is going to be a good ass time this week. All right. And if you enjoyed this episode, I encourage you to listen and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, YouTube, or any of the apps that you listen to your favorites on. Don't forget to leave us a review too over in Spotify, Apple Podcasts. All right. We appreciate it. Follow us on all social media. Share the episode with those you love, those you don't love, those you fucking hate. I don't make these pretty images and reels for nothing. All right. Have a dope ass week. Stay healthy, safe, and sane. Thank you for listening. And remember, the ratchet in me always honors the ratchet in you. Homaste. Until next time.